Well, here we are, week number four of our Stop series, our going through the book of Colossians. And if you've been with us, you know that week number one, as we looked at the first part of chapter one, we saw that all of us need to pray and simply say thanks to Jesus for all that he's done. And week number two, we looked and saw, as we entitled our message, Wow, that we have so much to be in awe of when we think of Jesus, our Creator God, our all in all, everything needed to have our eternity covered in heaven. And last week we saw that once you've said thanks and you pray and you know who God is, you know who Christ is, that you needed to kind of filter out all the baloney, all the stuff that's being said. Well, this week as we now come into chapter 3, I've entitled our message, Enough. Enough already. Because you see, once you've become a Christian, once you are truly a follower of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you need to come to a place where you have nothing short of a funeral. Really, the old you has died, and the new you in Christ is born. Hence the name Born Again Christians. This is the essence of what we're talking about. And when it's time, you really truly need to say goodbye to the old you with nothing short of a spiritual funeral. I tell you what, make no mistake, this is not an easy process. It takes hard work. And while it's Jesus that ultimately supplies the power, it's us that does the work. We've got to do our part. In fact, it's not a part-time or partial thing. I come over to the other side because you got to do the whole thing. It's a 360-degree 3D process, all of you, and it is hard work. There's no shortcuts. You can't leave part of you in the old. It's the whole thing. It's hard work, but praise God, if you give your heart to Christ, he'll get you through. He'll supply the power if you'll do the work. Amen. You see, when this time comes, literally all of the old you is gone. The Bible tells us here in Colossians that we need to set our minds on things above, that the old you has died and the new you in Christ has come alive, that the things that used to drive who you are, the things that used to consume all of your time, energy, and thoughts, whether you admit it or not, the selfishness, the greed, the me part is gone. It's truly gone. And now you get to bloom and blossom in all that Christ has called you to be, all that he has equipped you to be. The old you has gone in the ground. And the new you begins. Anybody here that's ready for a funeral? Can any of you relate to what we're talking about here? How many of you can say, yeah, there was a me in the past that, praise God, is now dead. Praise God, there's a me that was that is now dead. Or maybe there are some of you here today, and I pray you are here, who would say, there hasn't been a funeral yet. But I know there needs to be one. Maybe there's somebody here today, maybe there's a group of you that would say, yeah, I'm ready to say enough. Enough is enough. That old me needs to go in the ground. If that's you, I want you to know you're in the right place. We're going to do things a little differently here today. And I pray that you'll be blessed because of it. You see, our time this morning is going to be spent doing things that don't normally happen in a church service. But I'll tell you this. If what happens in your heart is what I pray does, you will be exactly where God wants you to be this morning. You see, this week I received an email, a very powerful and blessed email. And it was from somebody who has already had a funeral. Somebody who has said, you know what, Pastor Jeff? I had my funeral and I believe that God is calling me back into action. And he said, one of the things that is very real and true in my mind is that in this process, there needs to be an understanding of who we are in Christ. And there needs to be an understanding and an appreciation for the power of prayer. And really, that's what this is all about. As we go through the book of Colossians, the first two chapters, which we covered in the first 3 weeks, talks all about the truth and the understanding of the promises we have as believers, being born again in Christ. And this morning, as we now break into chapter 3, you'll see that in chapters 3 and 4, Paul gets to the point of living it out and showing us how to apply it. And he starts off this way. He says right in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Now, I need to point out that he's speaking to believers. He is speaking to those who have already accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so if you're here today and you're a believer, if you're a Christian, a biblical Christian, know that these words were written to you. They are timeless truths. But maybe you're here and you've not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't tune this out. Because I want you to know that Paul is speaking to you as well, potentially. And that if you will simply come and lay your old self at the foot of the cross, that these words belong to you as well. That every single person we meet, every single one is either an existing brother or sister in Christ, or a potential brother or sister in Christ. That Jesus went to the cross for all of us. And that if you will simply believe and receive his gift of grace, if you will lay your old self down, these words are for you. You see, he goes on and he says, since then. Since what? Let me take you back to last week. Let me just read to you chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 so that we tie this in. So you know who he's speaking to. God's word says this, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He died for you while you were still in the midst of your sin, that he might pay the price in advance to extend the gift of grace to you. It says, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled our debt. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. That was from last week. We saw that. Let me take you now over to Romans chapter 6. Let me again point out what you have in Christ. My friend who sent me the letter said, Pastor Jeff, if people only understood who they were in Christ, that he went to the cross for us as our substitutes, so that when he came out of the tomb, we would share in that as well. I want to read to you Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. God's word says this, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. That's the promise. For we know that our old self, was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died with him has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That's the promise. That's what it means to be risen with him. So in Colossians, when Paul tells us, so then, you have been raised with Christ. Understand this, that once you have become a believer, once you have given your life to Christ, you have risen with him and you carry the promises of a child of God. You no longer ever have to accept defeat. Now the storms will continue and the fight will rage on. And I'm not telling you that you will live in constant victory. But I tell you this, as a child of God who has risen with Christ, you have the potential to win every battle. not because of your strength, but because Christ lives in you, that you are now one of His. That is a promise to each and every one of us. You'll see this come alive as the passage goes on. You see, Paul tells us, if this is so, and it is, and all you have to do is give your heart and your life to Christ, if this is so, then set your mind on things above. Now, those of you that have been with us know that Bible 101 tells you that when God repeats himself, it's like us turning up the volume. And right here in these early verses, Paul says twice, set your mind on things above. Since then, since you've been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above. He says it again, set your mind on things above. Now, what does that mean? That means don't get caught up with the pettiness of what's going to happen over the 100 years or so that you're walking this planet. You know, we've got things that we need to do and lives that we need to live. But what he's saying is, if you are a believer, you understand that it's all about the forever. That everything we do in this life is geared towards our next life. That you don't get caught up in the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. But you have a focus on what lies underneath the water. The 99.99999 etc. of eternity. Set your mind on things above. He says, not on earthly things. Not on earthly things. Get this. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on things above. Not on earthly things, because you died. Hello? If you're spending all your time trying to feed the corpse, how ridiculous is that? He says, you died. My friend that sent me the email didn't press on this point, but I want to. It's a part of what God's Word's telling us this morning, and I think we need to sit here for just a second. You see, so often we would understand, you know, what do you do if you have a cancer? You cut it out. What do you do when something absolutely positively has to go? You cut it off. Paul says, in terms of the things that used to drive your life, you died. They're dead. Think about this. I don't know if many of you would know this, but your tongue, countless numbers of taste buds. Do you know that different sections of your tongue are responsible for different flavors? There's a sweet spot. There's a sour spot. If that part goes dead, if the sweet part of your tongue goes dead, you could dump a pound of sugar and you will not taste sweet. Because the part that is dedicated to doing it no longer functions. And what Paul is telling us is, in a similar way, the part that used to get a charge out of all the earthly stuff, all the things that used to drive you, or the things that would put a bounce in your step that really are not God-honoring, are not a part of the bigger picture, are not issues from the above, he says, that should be dead. It should have absolutely no impact on your life. Now, he's not saying this in a way to say you ought to. He's telling us this as a statement of fact. He says, as a child of God, you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's not a you should. He's saying it did. Why are we getting caught up in still trying to do the old? This is his point. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He says, you died. You died. The old you died when you accepted Christ. When he came alive in your heart, that old part of you died. There was a funeral inside. Amen. Said, that happened. Don't you listen to the devil who's trying to tell you that it didn't happen. He said, that's a fact. You died. When Christ came alive in your heart, the old you died. And he says, now, if you haven't grasped that, if you're still getting caught up in the old routines, put to death. Be intentional. He's saying, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He says, you don't understand sometimes. You get caught up in the old. Maybe the devil's tricking you into thinking that it didn't really happen. But if you've accepted Christ, there was a part of you that died. Go ahead and put it out. Have the funeral. Bury it. And put to death whatever's left over. You know what comes to mind here? It's a little gruesome and maybe even a little silly, but I think it paints the picture. Do you ever see the deal where you cut the head off the chicken and the chicken keeps running around? It's like nobody's told the chicken he's dead yet. You know, it's like, psst, hey, your head's over here. You're dead. And it just keeps running around. This is what I think of when I hear Paul saying this. Hey, listen, there was a funeral. You died. And yet you're still running around like a chicken with your head cut off with this old stuff. Paul says, hey, put that stuff to death. Knock it off. Bury it. Put it out. It's the trash. Now he says, because of such things, because of these things that are still going on, because of the components of the old you, this is that fire and brimstone stuff where they get on the Baptist preacher, so I'm warning you. He says, because of such things, the wrath of God is coming. Now, you could preach around that. You could pretend God's word didn't say it. You could try to sugarcoat it and say, well, when God's wrath comes, it probably won't hurt. He'll probably do it nice. Well, I'm here to tell you, when it says God's wrath will come, God's wrath will come. There is a penalty to be paid for sin. There is a penalty to be paid for intentional sin. And he's saying here, even though you did accept Christ, he's talking to believers. If you're a Christian, if you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, but you're still playing the games of the old self, he's saying, watch out. God's wrath will come. Now, here's where I want to switch things up a little bit. Because the question is, well, what things? And in our passage here, Paul goes through not a total list, but he puts a lot of things down. He shares a list. I'm going to ask each and every one of you here today, you should have been given a bulletin as you walked in. Each and every one of you ought to have a bulletin, and you ought to have one with a red pen. That's on purpose. I'd ask you to look into your bulletin. Amongst other things, there is a sheet of paper. And it says, the old dead you. And it's got a list of traits that Paul shares with us in this passage. The old dead you. And in this passage, Paul talks about the pride, the sexual sin, the impurity, lust, shameful desires, greed, idolatry, anger, hatred, cursing, dirty language, lying, revenge, slander and gossip. Now, most of you would be quick to recognize, as I was, that certainly does not cover all the dirty deeds and all the sins of the world. So I've made a little note at the bottom that says, go ahead and personalize this on the back. What I'm going to ask you to do right now, just on your own, recognizing that this will guarantee total privacy. Nobody will know. I'm just going to ask you. I have circled some. I'm going to ask you right now, just between you and the Lord, circle those parts of the old you. That if you had your come to Jesus meeting right now, if you were at the pearly gates and today was the day, because it might be, none of us have been guaranteed a single breath. What parts of the old you would you like to have a funeral for? What parts of the old you need to be nailed to the cross? Remember, we're told that all those sins, all the things that we used to be, Jesus took with him to the cross. Now that's a fact. That's why Paul said, you died. It's already been done. But then he says, watch out. Because if you keep up these things, not embracing your new birth, God's wrath will come. These things bring God's wrath. And so this morning, I'd like us to have a funeral. I would like us to have a personal, spiritual funeral. And I promise you, if you'll fill out that sheet, and if you'll customize it and put your own pieces on the back, I'm going to have you come down and put them in this box, this little spiritual coffin. We're going to all put them in, and we're going to close it, and nobody will ever see it again. And every single one of us will simply have a sheet with red circles and maybe some words written in red on the back. No signatures. Nobody will know whose is whose. But I want you to feel the power of this spiritual funeral. The old you has died. And if you've not yet accepted Christ, today is your day. Today could be your day where the old you could die right here, right now, because Jesus loves you. He's sending you a sign. If you're here today, or if you're listening, or if you're watching via video, this is God's way of tapping you on the shoulder and saying, for you, I went to the cross. For you, I extend this gift of grace. Each and every one of you. And all you've got to do is accept it. You don't earn it. You don't work on a resume for me. You don't memorize stuff. You just give me your heart. You come live in me. Accept this place as a Christian, as a biblical believer. Become a child of God. Would you do that? Would each of you do that? He says, because of such things, the wrath of God is coming. My friends, if you do not give your life to Christ, if you do not bury the old self, I will love you and I will be here for you forever. But I got to tell you, the wrath of God is coming. I can't tell you when and I can't tell you what it'll look like. But I can tell you that if you're not a believer, if you have not given your heart to Christ, or if you have, but you continue to play in the old flesh of who you were, not me, God's word says, his wrath is coming. He said, you used to walk in these ways. You used to walk in these ways, but now you must rid yourself of all such things. Let me read it to you in the vernacular that just jumps out at me. You used to walk in these ways, but now, not now, right now, but now. You must, not maybe, not kind of, not contemplate, but now you must. No option. You must rid yourself of all such things. Not 90%. It's not an 80-20 scale where, you know, I do all right, better than most. God says, I went to the cross. I gave all of myself for all of you. And in return, all I ask is that you accept all of my gift. All of it. It's an exchange program. I give you all of me, and you give me all of the old you, and then I give you a whole new you in me. That's a promise. So hear God's word when he says, but now you must rid yourself of all such things. I'm going to ask you to do as I'm doing. I hope that you've taken a minute or two, and if you haven't, then I ask you to still contemplate and do it. But we're going to come out of our seats. We're going to take a few minutes. I have a song that I wanted to play particularly that I pray will speak into your heart as you go through this process. The words will be up on the screen with you. But wherever you are, whoever you are, know that our Savior went to the cross because he loves you. Not me alone, not the church, not the nice people, not the good people, not the churchy people. You, whoever you are, wherever you are, and wherever you've been, Jesus loves you. And I ask you now, as the music plays, if you'll join me in a spiritual funeral. You see, we can't celebrate the resurrection if we don't first go to the cross. Would you come?
At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering
Pray that you join me and laid every burden down. There are locks on that coffin. That bad boy is closed. Every piece of you that you put in there is now dead. I plan to bury it, but I got to tell you, the ground's hard. I may burn it. I asked for permission to drop it into the bay with a stone that would sink it to the bottom, and I was told I couldn't do it. But I promise you, there will be a funeral. And God's promise is that there already has been a funeral if you've given your heart to Him. We're just going to go ahead and do the ceremony. So each and every one of us will have a very real, tangible remembrance of putting that sucker in the ground. Every part of who you were that you know is not who you are called to be is dead. God's word continues on. He puts it this way. He says, you have taken off your old self. Amen. You have taken off your old self and have put on the new self, which is being renewed. When you said yes to Jesus, the old you is gone. I asked you to make an exchange. In this passage, Paul, again, does not cover all of the new you. But look at the parts that come to the forefront when you put the old one in the ground. My new me, you'll be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, always loving, peaceful, thankful, Bible learning. This is God's user's manual for life, and we need to get with it. Wisdom seeking and worshipful, always praying, understanding that between God's word and praying, both in the talking to and to the listening to God, we have a lifeline. This new you will be fed and fueled through your relationship with Christ, which happens first and foremost on that personal one-on-one level. Fed through God's word and your intimate time with Him in relationship, not in religion, not in ritual, not in stuff, not even in church. As you'll see here momentarily, it's about being the church a heck of a lot more than being in a church. But I want you to understand that God is telling us that in this death and in this funeral, the old you is wiped away and the new you has been put on. And lest you wonder about where you've been and whether or not this God loves even you, maybe you're like me. Maybe you've had a path in life where you'd have to wonder. I don't know. I could see him loving the nice people, but I've got some real dirt under my fingernails. I've been in some bad places and I've done some things that I'm not proud of. I don't know if a God could love somebody like me. Paul, again, in God's word is so, so sweet. He says, here there is no blank or blank, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, obviously, the Bible doesn't say blank or blank. He talks about Greek and Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised. The point is, what he's saying is, there is no difference. God looks down from heaven. He doesn't see black or white, rich or poor, American or Chinese. He sees souls. We're all souls. There's no pecking order. If you this morning, if 5 minutes ago you gave your life to Christ, if in your own heart of hearts you said, Jesus, I know you're the one true living God, and it's only through a relationship with you, believing that you are who you are, that you are the one true living God. I don't understand all this, but I believe that. I want to be with you. I give you my heart. I want you to know if that happened 5 minutes ago, you and the Pope, even ground. You and me, you and Billy Graham, pick whatever icon you want. You and whoever, eye to eye. There's no difference. God does not honor men with some kind of a pecking order. So I say to you, paraphrasing Paul, here there is no blank or blank. Christ is all and is in all. That if you've given your heart to Him, same funeral happened for each and every one of us. The same filling happened for each and every one of us. Don't let the devil talk you into thinking that for some reason you couldn't be in this mix. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but will have eternal life. My friends, you could try to get outside of the whosoever clause and you can't do it. You could try to talk your way out of it. Not me. Couldn't be me. You don't understand. But whosoever catches everybody. And that's good news. Paul goes on and he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with this. With what? Again, it's the reason why I gave you the postcard. Paul describes not all of who the new you is, but he sure does give you a real sweet snapshot, doesn't he? That you're born again. The old you is in the box, dead. The new you, symbolized on that little card, is alive, is new, is clean, is fresh. Let me read to you verses 12 through 16 of Colossians chapter 3. Again, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, because you are his people. We see in 1 John 3, verse 1, that you are called a child of God. You have been adopted in Christ. You are a child of God. You go to John chapter 3. As we build up, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, before he gets to the famous John 3:16, he says to Nicodemus, you don't understand. You must be born again. You must be born again. And when you are, no matter who you are or where you've been, listen about the new you. Just a part. Verses 12 through 16 of chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. I know some of you have already done that with me. Amen. Thank you. Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let that bad boy sink in. I have people every once in a while talk to me about wanting to go deeper. Take that one for a swim. Forgive others as the Lord forgave you. Tell me when you get that one totally digested. We'll go deeper. And over all these virtues, put on love. Always loving every facet of your life, every encounter. Not just the lovely, but to love even the unlovely. And all these put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the new you, by the way. Does it sound like I'm reading about some Christian giant from history? This is you. When I closed the box, the old dead you went away. This is you. You, every one of you in Christ. Understand who you are. These things are alive. All you've got to do is embrace them. He goes on and he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I venture to say at least 80% of us would be blessed if we could embrace the peace of Christ in our life. I don't know what your busy schedule looks like. I don't know what battle you're fighting. I don't know what's on your plate right now. But I know this. Just about every one of us, and I would say conservatively, and I would bet the house if I were a gambler, that every one of us would be blessed if we would just embrace the peace of Christ, which is in you already. You just got to bump out the old you and grab a hold of the gift that is inside each and every one of us that call ourselves believers. Paul goes on and here he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms. Pastor Jim said, thank you, Lord, for songs, for the ability to worship. Let that peace rest in you as you sing songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, being thankful. You know, all you've got to do is think for a moment. Even if you haven't accepted Christ, if you say, I'm not quite sure yet, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful that the offer is out. And friends, if you are a Christian, if you had accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, oh my, we need to live in the spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. I was with Miss Shirley yesterday in the hospital. And we were talking about this because she said, my spirits are a little bit down. It just seems like I keep fighting the same battle over and over. Recovery to the hospital, the emergency room, to physical therapy, and I just can't seem to catch my breath. And I said, you know what, Miss Shirley? I love your spirit even in the midst of this. Because you know you've already won. The question is, where are you going to celebrate? And she's so thankful. And I just encourage each and every one of you, as a child of God who has a relationship with Christ, let that be in front of you. Because no matter what, no matter what, you win. And my friends, if you're not there yet, be thankful that the offer is extended to you. Be thankful that all you've got to do is say yes from your heart. And you too can have an eternity that is just absolutely saturated in peace and joy and love and understanding your purpose. Be thankful. He says in verse 17, as we close out the passage, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord, constantly giving thanks. It's a famous verse. A lot of employers like to reference this verse. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks. I've read a book this week, and I want to read a passage to you as we begin to close that I think does a great job of encapsulating this. You see, today is not only a funeral, but in many ways, in my heart, as the servant leader of the bridge, I want you to know this is a coming out party. This is a birthday for the bridge. We are going to begin to unapologetically embrace what it means to live out and do all that we do is for the Lord. We're not going to do church. We're going to be the church. We're not going to get here and just try to make sure that everything runs smoothly. We are going to worship the Lord in lifestyle and in every facet of what we do. And I'm calling each and every one of you to a standard of living that is thankful, that says the old me is in the box and the new me, who is in part represented by that card, is going to live for the Lord on purpose. It's a book by George Barna. Some of you that know me know that I'm a fan of his because he's real deal. He calls a spade, and a lot of people in the church don't like him. His book is called Revolution. And the premise of the book is that there are some in today's society, in the American culture, who are real deal, and they're getting fed up with old fat church. That they're getting fed up with playing games. They're getting fed up with religion. They're getting fed up in all this white box, look like, sound like, act like, play like people. And he says these revolutionaries, as he calls them, are changing the landscape of faith in America. He said most folks don't know it yet, and it'll be about 20 years before it'll really surface. But he says the demise of the local church is coming because people are just getting fed up with going to places that just play nice, going to places that do religious things and hang out with religious people, where the focus is on who you're sitting next to or what you memorized. He says there is an undercurrent in our culture of people that have said enough, that have said the old me is dead, the old church is dead. It's about relationship. It's about living that real deal lifestyle that's devoted. I was at a conference recently, and one of the speakers talked about living a life as a hireling or an owner. Are you going to own your faith, or are you just going to rent it on Sundays? Are you going to be totally committed to a relationship with the God that saved your eternity? Or are you going to do nice things every once in a while and check off that you went to church? I want to close out this morning in this understanding of enough, and that the old us is dead or needs to be dead, and the new us needs to come to life, by quoting George Barna and what he references here as the affirmations of a revolutionary. And I'm telling you straight up, without apologizing, this church is going to be a revolutionary church. The demise that he speaks of, I believe, is coming. But it's not going to come here. Because we will be the both and that says when the local church is truly about living out who they are in Christ, when they set high standards, when they don't apologize for the word, when they talk about things like God's wrath, and when they say you don't have to be cold and hard to have this, you can be the most loving group of people in a 100-mile radius. You can truly live with a servant's mindset. Then you're a revolutionary by Barner's terms. I would tell you you're simply a Christian by God's terms, and that's who we're going to be. And so I ask you to listen to this, and I ask you to just probe your heart. I'm inviting you to be a revolutionary with us. And if you're not there already, then I invite you to come along for the ride, and I promise you we will be intentional about helping you get there in a kind and loving way. But this is what it's about. This is what the bridge is here for. And I won't apologize for that. Listen, I am a revolutionary in the service of God Almighty. My life is not my own. I exist as a free person, but have voluntarily become a slave to God. My role on earth is to live as a revolutionary, committed to love, holiness, and advancing God's kingdom. My life is not about me and my natural desires. It's all about knowing, loving, and serving God with all my heart, all my mind, my strength, and my soul. Therefore, I acknowledge the following. I am a sinner, broken by my disobedience, but restored, amen, by Jesus Christ, in order to participate in good works that please God. I am not perfect, but Jesus Christ makes me righteous in God's eyes. And the Holy Spirit leads me towards greater holiness. God created me for His purposes. My desire as a revolutionary is to fulfill those ends and those ends alone. When I get out of bed each day, I do so for one purpose, to love, obey, and serve God and His people. Every breath I take is a declaration of war against Satan and a commitment to opposing him. Miss Shirley would say, bring it on. God does not need me to fight his fight, but he invites me to allow him to fight through me. It is my privilege to serve. It is my privilege to serve him in that matter. I anticipate and will gladly endure various hardships as I serve God. For this is the price of participation in winning the spiritual war. I do not need to save the world. Jesus has already done that. I cannot transform the world, but I can allow God to use me to transform some part of it. My commitment to the revolution of faith is sealed in my complete surrender to God's ways and His will. I will gratefully do what He asks of me, simply because he loves me enough to ask. I gain my security, my success, and my significance through my surrender to him. I am not called to attend or join a church, small c. I am called to be the church, capital C. Worship is not an event I attend or a process I observe. It is the lifestyle I lead. I do not give away 10% of my resources. I surrender 100%. God has given me natural abilities and supernatural abilities, all intended to advance His kingdom. I will deploy those abilities for that purpose. The proof of my status as a revolutionary is the love I show to God and His people. There is strength in relationships, and I am bound at a heart and soul level to other revolutionaries. I will bless believers whenever I have a chance. To achieve victory in the spiritual war in which we are immersed, there is nothing, hear me, there is nothing I must accomplish. I must simply follow Christ with everything I have. There is no greater calling than to know and serve God. The world, friends, I pray this grabs you. The world is desperately seeking meaning and purpose. I will respond to that need with the good news and meaningful service. Absolute moral and spiritual truth does exist. It is knowable, and it is intended for my life. It is accessible through the Bible. I want nothing more than to hear God say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Barna closes with a prayer, and I just want to share it with you. I pray these words will ring true in your heart. Thank you, Lord God, for loving me, for saving me, for refining me, for blessing me, and for including even me in the work of your kingdom. My life is yours to use as you please. I love you. I have a song I want you to just sit and saturate and listen to. And I pray those words and that prayer will take ownership in your heart. Listen to this song. And I just ask you to sit. Get to know the new you.
Rescue, rescue down. wilt follow.
This world is nothing, nothing.
I will follow.
This world is nothing, nothing.
I will trust in you.
This world is nothing.
I will trust in you.
This world is nothing.
I will follow.